Oh, how glorious are those whose tongues are chanting the holy name. Even if born in the families of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. This is a very important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is often quoted by Srila Prabhupada to establish the fact that becoming advanced in spiritual life is not a question of birthright, but it is a question of accepting the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oftentimes in Prabhupada's preaching activities, he was criticized. Actually, one who teaches pure devotional principles, wherever he goes, he is criticized by certain classes of men. In the West, Prabhupada explains that he was criticized especially by so many of the parents of his disciples, because he was liberating them from the clutches of material life. So this, to a materialist, is worse than death. So Prabhupada tells in one purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam how the great Prajapati, Daksha, he had many, many children. They were all male children. They were known as the Haryashas. And being a very religious man, he sent his children to a holy place of pilgrimage to perform austerities and penances for a long, long time so that they can purify themselves, come back, get married, live nice material lives, and procreate many, many children throughout the world. So they went there to perform their austerities and penances with this purpose in mind. But at that time, the great sage Narada Muni happened to appear on the scene. And he told them that you are performing all these penances and austerities just to have a lot of sex and procreate children and live within this material world. He said, that is not the highest thing. The highest thing is that you chant the holy names of the Lord, you surrender unto Lord Krishna, and you go back to Godhead. So he convinced them all to accept the vows of renunciation. And when Daksha found out about this, he was very upset. So he figured, the only thing I can do is beget more children. So he begot more children, and he was expecting them to carry on his good name and fame in this world. So he sent them to the same place of pilgrimage and said, don't be like your stupid brothers. Come back home like good boys and do the will of your father. So they, yes, my dear father, whatever you say. So they went and performed their austerities and penances, and guess who appeared? Narada Muni appeared. And he said, oh, you should follow in the footsteps of your saintly brothers and chant the holy names and take the vow of renunciation and go back to Godhead. So they did. And Daksha became so angry that he approached Narada Muni and he said, you are not bona fide devotee. You are bogus man. And he cursed him. He said, I curse you because you have ruined my family life and you have ruined my children's ability to carry on my good name and fame. I curse you that you can never be able to sit down in one place, but you'll always be on the move. So, of course, Narada Muni took that as a great blessing. And Prabhupada explains that when I came to the Western world, so many nice young boys and girls, they gave up their materialistic ways of life and took to the teachings of Sri Narada Muni And now they are engaged simply in glorifying the Lord and purifying the whole society. But he said, in the process of doing so, many parents who are like Daksha have become very angered at me, and they have cursed me to never be able to sit down in one place. He says, therefore, I am always forced to move from place to place to place to preach the glories of the Lord. But, Prabhupada explained, I am very anxious to finish the writing of the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures. Therefore, I am humbly requesting my disciples to accept this curse upon their heads so that I can settle down and continue my writing. So Prabhupada was criticized by certain classes of materialistic persons wherever he went. The materialistic person is always very anxious to maintain the name of his family. That's why in many cultures of the world, they consider it very auspicious to have a male child, because the male child carries on the good name of the family. Whereas the female is very nice, but she gets married and then she carries on the name of someone else's family. So there is this material attachment. Actually, even in my own life, recently my father said to me, says that all of my brothers, all of their children are girls. But in my family, there's three boys. So when my grandfather saw that there was three boys who were his grandchildren, he was very happy because he was thinking that now the good name of the family will be carried on. He says, but your two brothers, they will never, one is too poor to ever get married, and the other is just not inclined. So he said, you are the only hope to carry on the good name of the family. You are the only one responsible enough. So I explained to him that maybe you better work on the others. He said, no, you're the only one that can do it. So this material idea of a name, of fame, it is very dear to a materialistic person. So such persons who are materialistically inclined, they can never understand the activities of the devotees who are living simply for Krishna, who are putting aside all the things that give pleasure and wealth and fame for the body, and they simply live for the glory of the Lord. Sometimes we are criticized by the media that the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement, they are simply traveling around, working long, long hours a day to give all their money to God. And they live simple lives, sleeping on floors with no possessions. Therefore, sometimes they think that the devotees are being exploited. But actually, it is they who are being exploited. They are endlessly being exploited by Maya to acquire more and more and more possessions, and every one of those things simply further the entanglement, the bondage, and the miseries of material existence. And then, after suffering a long life of entanglement, it's all taken away anyway. That is exploitation of Maya. But the devotees of the Lord, with every activity in devotional service, they are earning eternal benefit in the spiritual world. Neha vikramanasos ti pratyavayo navidyate. On the spiritual platform, anything anyone does in Krishna consciousness, it is eternally there for our benefit. Prabhupada explains, if we become 10% Krishna conscious, we begin our next life at 11%. If we become 90%, we begin at 91%. So only by sacrificing the fruits of our activities to Krishna do those fruits become of eternal benefit to the devotee. And of course, when Prabhupada was in India, there was a certain class of very proud and puffed up persons of so-called high birth who criticize Prabhupada, that you are taking the mlechas and javanas, the low-class non-Aryans, and you are giving them the sacred thread, and you are teaching them our sacred mantras. So Prabhupada used to use this verse to defeat their useless arguments. That spiritual life is not a question of any material qualification. It is simply a question of one who agrees to receive the mercy of the Lord within his heart. And in this age of Kali, the great means of attaining the mercy of the Lord is through the chanting of the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of Krishna. But this is not something new. Even in the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur was persecuted by the Brahmin class for chanting what they called Hindu mantras. He was chanting the names Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. And these so-called Brahmins, they had him arrested, imprisoned, and beat very severely with whips because he would refuse to stop chanting. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he accepted Haridas Thakur as his most intimate confidential associate. And Advaita Acharya, who is the leader of a class of the most saintly persons of Shantipur and Navidweep, he recognized Haridas Thakur as the foremost of all saints. When he performed the Shraddha ceremony, it is expected that the first remnants is given to the most elevated Brahmins. But he gave it to Haridas Thakur, who was born in a class of Mohammedans, who are considered by the self-righteous Brahmins to be outcasts. So a devotee of the Lord is simply concerned with pleasing Krishna and the great saintly persons. He is not concerned with pleasing the material desires of the materialistic persons. It is explained you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can never please all the people all the time. But if you simply please Krishna, your life is perfect. That is all. So Haridas Thakur, he would travel from place to place all over Bengal, and he would preach the glories of the chanting of the holy name to everyone he would meet. And he was so dear to the Lord that upon leaving his body, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wept and cried for him. This is a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Haridas Thakur was very old, one day he was laying in his room, and because of his seniority and age, sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant would bring him prasad. So one day he brought Haridas some prasad, and Haridas was laying on the floor, and he said, "No, today I will not eat, because I have not finished my regulated chanting of 300,000 names of Krishna, so I must fast." So Govinda went back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him of the condition of Haridas Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the home of Haridas, who lived in a little thatched hut near the Jagannath temple. And he said, "My dear Haridas, you have already liberated the entire universe by your pure example. You have already perfected your life and attained the highest stage of love of Krishna. There is no need for you in your old age to perform such a rigorous austerity as chanting so many names before even eating." So Haridas Thakur, his reply was, "My dear Lord, I ask one thing of you. Please fulfill my request." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Whatever you desire, Krishna must certainly fulfill." He said, "I know that very soon You will be bringing about a final chapter to your earthly pastimes. And it is too painful for me to even conceive of seeing this. Therefore, please take your lotus foot and let me place it upon my heart. And with my eyes fixed on your moon-like face and my lips uttering the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, please take this life from this body. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to cry. He said, my dear Haridas, you are everything that's meaningful for me in this world. How will I live without you? And Haridas Thakur, he said, my dear Lord, don't say these fanciful things. I am nothing but an insect. If one ant dies in this world, what is the significance? Who cares? So then the Lord, in a simultaneously sad and happy mood, he left that place. And then the next day he brought all of his devotees to the place of Haridas Thakur. Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Swarup Damodar Goswami. They were all there. And on the way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to praise the glories of Haridas Thakur with such enthusiasm that it appeared to everyone that he had five mouths. And they got there, and Haridas Thakur, he bowed down before the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked for the kirtan to begin. So they began chanting the holy name, and the most beautiful and graceful dancer of Rakreshwar Pandit, he began to dance in great ecstasy. And then Haridas Thakur, he lay down, and he took the feet of the Lord, placed it upon his heart, gazed with his eyes like bumblebees, unblinking at the beautiful golden moon-like face of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And on his lips he recited over and over and over again, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And it was at that moment that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his causeless mercy, sent the soul of Haridas Thakur back to the spiritual world. And Mahaprabhu began to weep in ecstasy and lifted the body of Haridas and put it upon his lap and began to dance with great ecstatic emotion. And everyone was dancing around the Lord as he was twirling around with the body of his devotee. And then Mahaprabhu, he carried on a palanquin to the beach the body of Haridas, and with his own hands and the hands of the devotees, they dug the grave, and they began to decorate his body with flowers and different remnants of Lord Jagannath. And then the Lord, with his own hands, filled the grave with the sand. Then they bathed in the ocean and came back to Puri. And Mahaprabhu went from shop to shop and store to store with his garment and begged people, please offer me some fruits or vegetables so that we can have a wonderful feast for Srila Haridas Thakur. And they had a grand celebration. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not let anyone stop eating until they were filled up to their necks with prasad. And then at the end, he began to call out with great transcendental devotion that the crown jewel of the entire universe, Srila Haridas Thakur, has left us today to return to Krishna. This is our great misfortune. He said, whoever even thinks of Haridas Thakur, whoever remembers this incident, whoever was here to take this prasad, or whoever saw the transcendental ceremony of the last rites of Srila Haridas Thakur, is certain to attain pure love of Krishna. And then with his own mouth, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked everyone to respond, and began to call out, "All glories to Srila Haridas Thakur. All glories to Srila Haridas Thakur. All glories to Srila Haridas Thakur." So although Haridas Thakur was criticized by these Smarta Brahmins as being a low-class, non-Aryan Malecha, in the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was most dear, because he was always chanting the name of Krishna. There is another story in Chaitanya Charitamrita which indicates the glory and power of the holy name of the Lord. There was a devotee, actually at this point he was working for the government. His name was Subhuti Rai. And Subhuti Rai was quite a wealthy man. He had much power. And he had one servant who was very young. And one day, actually, he would care for his servant just like a father would care for his son. He would give him great fatherly concern and care and affection. But one day, because his servant was misbehaving, out of affection for him to teach him, he whipped him. Later on, Subhuti Rai retired, and he gave his high post to his servant, who was at that time married to a nice young girl. One day, I don't know what they were doing, but she happened to see these whip mark scars on his back, and she became very upset, because she was thinking that your body is my body, that your body is my source of sense gratification. Who has scarred it in this way? Who has interfered with my sense gratification? So he told her the story. So she became very angry. She said, "You must kill Subhuti Rai. You must have him punished by death for doing this." He said, "How can I do this? He is like my father. He has been so kind to me." She said, "Either you put him to death or I leave you." So he was thinking, he is like my father, but she is my beloved wife. What to do? This is an age-old dilemma. So he thought of an idea, that to cause a Hindu in those days to be rejected by the Hindu society is worse than death. So they had these very ritualistic ways of making a Hindu an outcast. What he did is he took some water from the drinking pot of a Muslim and sprinkled it on the head of Subhuti Rai. And simply because of that, he was rejected by Hindu society. Of course, he did not want to be rejected. So he went from place to place asking people how he could be reinstated in his position as a Hindu. So he went to one man who was a so-called saintly person, and he said, "What am I to do? They sprinkled water from a Muslim's pot on my head." And he said, "Oh, they put water from Muslim's pot on your head? There's nothing you can do to become a Hindu again. You're finished." So he went to another, and he said, "Oh, water from a Muslim's pot on your head? There's nothing I can do. There's nothing anyone can do. You are an outcast for life." So then he went to one man, and he gave him a ray of hope. He said, "Oh, contaminated water on your head? There's one thing you can do. You take ghee and you bring it to a point of great heat where it's smoking and smoking, practically boiling, and then you drink it all." He said, "But if I drink it all, I will die." He said, "Yes, you will die, but because ghee was pure, then in your next birth, you will get to be a Hindu." So there was some hope for him there. But he kept searching to see if he could find something a little nicer. So then, in his travels, he happened to meet, by the Lord's mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this ridiculous story, he said, "Don't worry about these things. You just chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare." He said, "You will not only become a Hindu and a Brahmin, but you will become the highest, most elevated saintly person. You will become a pure devotee of the Lord, which is beyond all these social religious designations." So naturally, Subhuti Rai, he considered that this was the nicest proposal. He began to chant the holy names of the Lord, and he became the most exalted devotee. So exalted that he went to Vrindavan, and he dedicated the rest of his life to simply serving all the devotees. Whenever the Bengali devotees of Mahaprabhu would come to Vrindavan, they would usually have indigestion because they were used to eating rice, but in that part of India, all there is chapatis. So somehow or other, he would go out and collect wood from the forest and sell it, and with whatever money he would make, he would buy rice and feed it to the Bengali Vaishnavas. And he would also give them nice oil massages and give them a place to stay, and he would personally take them by the hand and give them a tour of all the forests of Vrindavan. So in this verse, it is clearly explained that from the point of view of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is speaking here in his incarnation of Lord Kapila, there is nothing more pleasing to him than one who chants the holy name of the Lord in a pure and humble state of mind. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed us that of all the different Vedic ritualistic instructions, and of all the great mantras in the Vedas, and of all the teachings of the great sadhus, there is one verse which is the most important and pertinent to all those who want to aspire for perfection in this life. And he explained that every devotee should take this one verse and put it on a golden necklace and wear it around his neck at all times. And what is that verse? Trinadapi sunichena turorapi sihishmana amanina manadena kirtaniya sada. That one should be more humble than grass. One should be more tolerant than tree. One should offer all respect to others and expect nothing in return. Only in this way can one chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So in our chanting of the holy names, we should be very attentive. As Prabhupada explained many, many times, we should chant the holy name for one purpose only, to please Krishna. Whatever else we do, whatever else we say, it will only have real potency to the extent that we are sincerely taking to the chanting of the holy name. So this should not be minimized for anything or everything else. This is the basis and the essence of all of our advancement. That when chanting our japa, or while chanting and dancing in kirtan, we should be chanting in the humble mood that we are worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his most munificent incarnation in this age of Harinam. It is explained, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, that in this age of Kali, Duga, the Supreme Lord incarnates with all of his power and all of his opulences in the sound vibration of his holy name. So we must approach the holy name as Krishna himself, and with great attention and devotion chant. Whatever our qualifications or disqualifications may be in any type of devotional service, Krishna recognizes the sincere endeavor to work very hard according to our capacity, and to work very hard also in hearing and chanting the supreme name of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.